Welcome back. This is Kurt Mortensen on another session on trust. We talked about last time about the five C's of trust. There was character, competence, confidence, credibility, and of course, congruence. Today we're going to talk about the one that most people bring up when you talk about trust. And that's top of the list, and that's character. You see, character is kind of the combination of the qualities that distinguishes you from one person from another. These qualities make up kind of who you are on the inside, not the external front you put up when other people are looking at you or talking to you, but who are you really? What do you do when nobody's watching you? What do you do when there's no one to impress? How do you treat people when you don't need something from them? Character is made up from different aspects that we'll be talking about, but solid character is the very foundation of your ability to not only get trust, to succeed. No long-term success is going to happen if there's questionable ethics, motives, or behaviors. I love what Stephen Covey said in his best-selling book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. He said, "If I try to use human influence strategies and tactics of how to get other people to do what I want, to work better, to be more motivated, to like me and each other, while my character is fundamentally flawed, marked with duplicity or insincerity, then in the long run, I cannot be successful. My duplicity will breed distrust in everything I do. Even using so-called good human relation techniques will be perceived as manipulative. It simply makes no difference how good the rhetoric is or even how good the intentions are. If there is little or no trust, there is no foundation for permanent success." I also love what Zig Ziglar says. It says the most important persuasion tool you have in your entire arsenal is integrity. And integrity is a subset of character. That's what your honesty, your integrity, your sincerity, who you are on the inside. If you're faking yourself out on the inside, you're faking other people out, and that's where the distrust comes from. It's interesting to note the word sincere comes from the word sincerus, which is a Latin word to mean without wax. Interesting. Well, back then when they made sculptures or pillars and they make a little mistake, they'd fill it up with wax. But when the sun would come out, it would reveal the deception. So when you're sincere, there is no deception. You are without wax. And as King Solomon said, a good name is more desirable than great riches. A UCLA study with over 300 senior executives, the study found that 71% said integrity was the most needed to succeed in business. Want another quote? Martin Luther King, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in the moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in the times of challenge and controversy." You know, Newsweek magazine did a study about character in the workplace, and I was surprised, and you'll be surprised to find out that more and more workers feel that lying and cheating are acceptable. There was another survey that found that nearly half of all workers engage in some type of unethical or illegal acts. I found, as I train persuaders and administer persuasion IQs, that most people admit that their integrity was a little better. So what's my point? Well, the disregard for honesty and sincerity is prevalent, but it will always catch up with you. Period. End of story. Deception may seem harmless at times. It might get you short-term results, but there are long-term consequences. The worst thing for a persuader is that your audience member probably will never confront you about dishonesty or deception. They'll never say, "Oh, I think you're lying," or "I distrusted you." They will just leave or say things like, "Oh, I'll call me back," or "send me more information," and you'll never hear from them again. They'll never work with you again. You will never get a hold of them again. So the challenge is, remember that even though you're an honest person and you may have great character, it's human nature for people to cast these sweeping judgments and opinions without all the facts. So if you want that genuine trust and that lasting persuasion, you must avoid even the slightest appearance of anything you might or someone might consider dishonest. If you have never placed yourself in a situation that others might judge you on a negative way, that's a good thing. Be very careful. Philip Brooks, he was a 19th century clergyman, he said, "Character is made up in the small moments of our lives." So we need to remember to be caring, honest, and forthcoming. Don't embellish. Don't omit certain information. Don't cover your tracks. Put the interests of others ahead of your own. Keep your priorities straight. Character is basically knowing what is right, desiring to do what's right, and then doing what's right. Then there's Abraham Lincoln. What did he say? He had a lot of challenges in his administration, but he did say, when I lay down the reins of this administration, I want to have one friend left, and that friend is inside myself. That is character. Let's talk about some fundamental characteristics of character and why it's so important. No character, no trust. And if you look at character, a lot of people define it as self-discipline, self-control, self-mastery. You can even say willpower. Doing the things you know you want to do, even when you don't feel like doing them. Even when you don't know if they're right or if you feel they're right. There's a big challenge there. So let's talk about that. Now, with self-discipline, in life, you're either going to have self-discipline or you're going to have regret. And self-discipline is almost when you capture an emotion and you turn it into an act. It's also that bridge between your goals and your achievements. That's self-discipline. That's part of your character. That's part of your willpower. People can sense that in you. People can see that in you. People notice that in you. It's Plato that says the first and best victory is to conquer self. To be conquered by self is, of all things, the most shameful and vile. That's what Plato said. But let me give you a study to help you understand a little bit about willpower and how it works and things you can apply right now. Understand that the research is about willpower is that your willpower is almost like a muscle. So the question is this. When you wake up in the morning, your willpower is charged. You're feeling rested. But every time you exercise willpower throughout the day, just like a muscle, it gets weaker and weaker and weaker. Now, sure, in the long term, it'll be stronger, but that day it's weaker. Think about it. When you have a goal, most people fail in the evening. You look at dieting, most people fail in the evening. In the morning, they're strong. In the afternoon, they're pretty strong. By the end of the day, they're very weak because they keep exercising it. They never take time to recharge it like a battery. If you let your willpower battery drain, by the end of the day, you're like, well, I don't care. Nobody loves me. Pass the ice cream, whatever it is. That's a big challenge. So what drains that battery? Well, negative emotions, negative people, pessimism, when things don't go right, low blood sugar, fatigue, lack of sleep. A lot of different things are all different. The main thing here is being aware that it's happening to you. Okay? Most people don't even realize that it's happening to them. So the end of the day, something's wrong, they just don't care anymore, and they just fail. It's because your willpower battery is low. What can you do to recharge it? Again, everybody's different here. Be aware, it's number one, maybe you need a nap, maybe you need to go to bed, maybe you need to eat something, go for a run, meditate. What else can you do? Do read your vision statement. You can talk to somebody that's positive. You can watch a little humor. What works for you? Recharge that battery and keep going. That's what successful people do. There was a study done with college students who went to this, what they thought was a sensory perception study. So they show up, and they've been fasting for 4 hours, and as they register, they smell freshly baked chocolate chip cookies. Wow. And it's smelling good, and they're excited, and they go inside. In the first half, they say, you know, you can eat whatever you want. There was two choices, radishes or chocolate chip cookies. Now, I don't know about you. That's a pretty easy choice for me. I'm going for the cookies. But the second half of the students, they said, sorry, you're going to have to resist. You're going to have to exercise some willpower, some self-discipline, but you have to resist the chocolate chip cookies and only eat the radishes. Then they said, okay, that part of the study's over. Go to the next room while you wait for the next one. But in this next room was a series of puzzles, and these puzzles were unsolvable. There was no solution. They said, here, work on these. And they were monitoring them to see how fast they would give up. It's no secret that the ones that exercised willpower, that only ate the radishes, gave up on their puzzles almost 3 times faster than the chocolate chip cookie eaters. What does this say? We know that when you exercise your willpower, the next time you need to exercise it, to not give up on the puzzle, it's a little weaker. Be aware of how this works. It is critical to your success, critical to your trust. And as Helen Keller said, character cannot be developed in the ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, vision cleared, ambition inspired, and success achieved. That is character. We know she had character. So let's talk about your homework. Remember, part of your character is how you face your challenges. You're going to face obstacles in life. The universe will test you. The universe might kick you in the head. Bad things might happen to you. They happen to everybody. Every millionaire has the same story, the series of things that went wrong. But these challenges, understand this, and I believe this, this is so important. Every challenge or obstacle you face, it's there because there's something you need to learn to take your life and your income to the next level. Now, if you don't learn from it, you're going to have to repeat it. That's a whole other story. But are the challenges you're facing, are they make you a better person or a bitter person? Do they make you grow or they give you grief? Do they give you constant pain or they help you tap into your passion? So this week, I want you to focus not only on your self-discipline and making sure you keep that battery charged and being aware of when it's weak, but every challenge you face this week, ask yourself, what can I learn and how can I grow? And face it with more excitement, not anger and apprehension, but with excitement. There's something you need to learn because when you get through this, your life will become better. You'll grow. You'll have more money, whatever it is you're searching for. So every drawback, every setback, every obstacle, every challenge this week, ask yourself, what can I learn and how can I grow? And then be with us next time as we talk about the next Sea of Trust.